Hey, everybody, welcome. You know, I am the kind of kid that grew up with comics. I grew up with fantasy. It was my way in my world, especially a kid growing up that stuttered, being learning different. What were the ways that I got engaged in life or got engaged, period? Well, it was the world of, shall I call it fantasy, but maybe not even so much. Whether it came in the form of movies or whether it came in the form of comic books, here's the deal. It came in the form of great stories. You know, see, this is the one thing I could relate to as a kid. Today, I am so thrilled to have all of you meet Fionn Fox Faraday, winner International Impact Book Award in romance. And thank goodness, a great book about romance. Today, you're going to hear about this incredible book, Karen, Mates of the Alliance. Now, why am I so excited about this? Because not only is this right up our alley, but it takes us on a journey of a powerful, powerful message. And for those of you out there, you're going to meet a woman that stepped into this world, that took on and moved beyond whatever was going on in the world around us for the past 3 years, and stepped forward with her background in medicine and family members serving in World War II, Vietnam, just like I've shared with all of you. But this is a way to bring conversations and stories together. Mates of the Alliance, Mates of the Alliance, this is something I want you to remember. Today, I want to introduce you to someone that just goes beyond writing a book, but takes us on a journey so that you can feel what the characters in the book feel, so that you can imagine yourself in the unimaginable. But then what happens when maybe two of the most unlikely folks get together? What do you get? You get an award-winning book, a great story, and a time to really be present in the world of something that brings a powerful message and still takes you on a journey of universal planetary energy. It's so great to have you here. Thank you, Fionn. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I've been looking forward to talking with you.
My childhood is exactly like I just described, and so you can imagine how I felt when I saw the book trailer, right? First of all, thank you for doing a book trailer. I wish everybody did a book trailer. But thank you for doing that because, you know, besides reading the book and besides being there and besides being in such a beautiful place of romance, this is my opinion, by the way, you're also bringing a book to the forefront that was so important to bring. But let's talk about you, if we could, for a minute. You know, a lot of times when we hear about books like this, stories like this, they come from people that so are in the groove of this. They don't usually come from people that are in a different profession, that have busy careers. And I'm not quite sure why, but that's not really the whole story for you, is it? Because something touched your heart. You saw some things in this COVID world that really busted open your heart, didn't you?
It has been a rough year, a couple of years, of course, for all of us. Back in 2020, I had a medical scare, and they put me on no call for 6 weeks and no work responsibilities for 2 weeks. And I kind of watched every single television show, binge-watched, read all my to-be-read books. And then when I came back, it was in the midst of the first wave of COVID. And it was, I don't have to say it, it was truly awful for everybody. And, you know, I'm an ICU doc, and I have it easier than a lot of the staff in the unit because I come by and I check on my patients for maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes at a time, and then I move on to the next patient. A lot of my good friends are ICU nurses, and how the ICU generally works is they have two patients, and they spend 12-hour shifts with them continuously. And this was, when we first started, the patients weren't allowed to have visitors. So their sole means of support, emotional support, were the nurses. And these nurses got to know these patients, and a lot of the patients were family members of each other. We lost families. It was awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was hard to leave that at home. And, you know, the ICU nurses, were so dedicated. And I can't say enough about them. They're amazing people. And a lot of them got burnout because they commit so much to this. So it was hard to leave work at home. And I'd come home and I would watch TV, and that didn't do anything because it was just too much stress and you'd bring work home with you. So I started to write, and I wanted to write something where, you know, there was a thread of hope, and we didn't have enough, the right technology. We didn't have enough medications, the right medications to save these people. And I wanted to write something where it was a different world and it was a catastrophe, but we had the means to save people. And I wanted to give us hope, and everyone loves a good romance, something to make them smile. And, you know, hope gets us through it.
Oh,
otherwise, gosh, the last couple of years.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, even today, it's so interesting you and I are talking about this. And I want to just make sure everyone knows, Fionn, that as you and I are talking, I want to make sure people know that you all can go to Amazon, please. And if you're listening to this, please follow along, because there's something that you'll find. You'll see the imagery that we're going to be talking about. And when you go to Amazon, you're going to be looking for Mates of the Alliance book, K-A-I-R-N, when we say the word Karen, K-A-I-R-N, Fionn Fox Faraday, of course. This is an award-winning book, but it's more than that. When you go to look here, whether it's Amazon or any other place, you'll see the imagery. And the imagery is so important. It is important in the world we live in today. It's also important when you hear me say the following. I hope that this book is made into a movie. I don't know if that's like on the horizon, but I'm telling you, this would be one of those things that I could see people relating to for a lot of reasons. I want to ask you this question in writing the book without giving away the whole book. This is a romance novel. This is a book that engages people beyond this, but it's also a really cool story that takes us to a place where millions of people really want to go now. They want to go to this place and look at intergalactic stuff. They were fascinated by it, right? What was it about this venue that fascinated you? Because you could have written this story in another way maybe, but no, you really took it to the place that I live. Tell me about that.
I've always loved science fiction, and you know, I grew up on Star Trek and Gene Roddenberry. And it was, you know, that series was ahead of its time because, you know, back then when it first started, and, you know, we didn't have, you know, multiracial crews working together or romances.
Okay.
And it showed that, and it showed the camaraderie and the brotherly love, sisterly love between the entire crew. And I wanted to draw upon that. And, you know, part of this book, it's a romance, but it's also a bromance as well.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, because, you know, Karen's crew, until he meets Daria, is the only family he's known for decades, years. And they will do anything for each other. And I hope that comes through in the book.
Yes,
they
it does.
Absolutely love each other like family.
It does come through. And that's really why I ask you the question, because it comes through in a way that, and I'm with you about Star Trek. I'm with you about anything that's related to that. And, you know, so far ahead of its time. And see, again, what you're doing is you're really bringing forth the camaraderie that we have seen across the board now. I mean, these are the stories I think we are not going to keep telling. And for so many of us, we know the effects of COVID are not over. I mean, we know they're not over. I mean, what did we wake up with today? The president, right now, today. All of us who went through 3 years of not getting COVID got COVID afterwards, right? But that's not the whole story. The whole story is, you know, when you look at, in your words, if I may say, a world bitterly divided, right? Because this is some of the language in here. I thought, what is she talking about? You captured that so beautifully. What is it that we could learn if we just look at Karen for a minute? What can we learn from that level of bromance camaraderie? What is the underpinning power that this team is showing us?
There is a scene early on in the book, and it's when Karen is first addressing the representatives of the Earth governments. And they're all clamoring for their share of the water and their share of the resources that he's bringing to try and salvage what's left of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring up something along the lines, because he's got silver hair, fur. And somebody makes a really nasty comment about, well, we know we trust you, but what about these other fur-colored crew members of yours? And he's taken aback because he's very disappointed and disillusioned with them because on his crew, they don't judge by, you know, hair color or fur color or hair color. They judge by merit and character. And as he puts it, you know, I thought you had too. And he's thinking in the back of his head, you are more primitive and not as advanced as I had hoped, unfortunately. And, you know, that's emphasized through the book that, you know, all the superficial differences don't matter. What matters is who we are underneath, our character, you know, loyalty, you know, faithfulness. And he values everybody based on that. And it's very clearly drawn out in that book. And he also wants to help them, but help out Earthlings, humans. But he doesn't want to give them a handout. He wants to give them a hand up.
Yeah.
He basically, you know, teach them to fish. You feed them for a lifetime. If you give them a fish, you only feed them for a day. There's a difference, and we've got to make sure they understand that.
Yeah, I mean, this is for me. First of all, I thought about it as I'm reading the book. I thought about I just am so excited to be speaking with you, because I too grew up with quite the imagination, right? Influenced early on, like you were influenced. And I'm very grateful for being learning different, because being learning different meant I couldn't read or write. I stuttered most of my teenage years, and off I went. And so I was able to get immersed in the story. This is a beautiful story, but it's also powerful. And it is a story that goes beyond the bromance, but it goes to a point of connection between Daria and Karen. And I want to talk for a minute about what was in your heart. What was in your heart when you saw the vision for the connection between these two people?
Well, they're two, even though they're, you know, superficially extremely different, underneath it all, they're both, you know, looking for someone that will see them for who they are and, you know, completely accept them, embrace them. And, you know, Karen's, despite all of his brothers, he mm-hmm. is very lonely, and he never knew that a romance, that this kind of love was possible. Just, you know, they're a warrior breed or species, and they are the point of the spear for their alliance. And they've just never, it's not usually in the cards for them. And he's been dreaming of her, and when he first sees her, it is kind of an insta-love on his part, but it's not on hers. It takes her a while to see past the initial superficial differences. The first time he smiles at her, all she sees is teeth, huge fangs. And I get to know him because he basically finds out what's important to her and tries to do things for her that she would value. And that's what really wins her heart. And it's just, it's people who really know you and accept you for what you really are. And it's a story of hope. And also, you know, you have this huge alien who's, you know, physically very imposing. And there's a scene in the back of the book where all the tech that they have is not enough.
Mm.
And she saves his life.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of hope and praying very hard, she saves his life.
Yeah. See, that's what I love about this. That's mm-hmm. what I love about this. Beyond that, and this is a sneak peek, I think, at what's to come, Fiona, and I think we'll talk about that more. But one of the things I loved, I'm reading through the book, and for a moment, tell me if I'm off on this. I'm reading through the book, and at the same time, I'm just listening to the nattering that's going on as to whether people believe climate, the things going on in our world and the earth and climate are even real. I mean, I'm just hearing these conversations that this is some kind of crazy thing that we're making up. Yet you turn around and you look at the Tour de France that's going on right now in 3-digit heat in parts of the country that you can't even imagine. You're looking at the Pacific Northwest that's having here where I live an unusual summer. People here are grateful for it. But then you're looking on the East Coast and other places, and they're like, please, we got to get some relief. And so I'm reading in the book, even though this is not about climate, it is about, what is it? Help me with the pronunciation. Is it Ikori or Ikori worship?
Ikori.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm reading about this, and for a moment, oh my gosh. What are you really describing here? Am I reading too much into it?
And more so in the rest of the books, what is woven through the entire series is stewardship, of the planet. We only have one planet. We need to take good care of it. Or how do we expect her to take care of us? And, you know, there's so much that we have done to the planet already. And, China is, you know, an economic giant. But yeah. To do that, they have completely destroyed their country. They have pumped out God knows how much pollution. That country will never be the same. And they've managed to damage the planet for the rest of us on top of it. And, you know, we are, to a large degree, we live in the moment. We don't always see the big picture. And, you know, I have family in Texas. They have temperatures of about 110, 115 degrees in the shade.
Yeah.
You know, that we've got to wake up and smell and see what we're doing. And, yeah. You know, it's hopefully we've not passed the point of no return. There is a movie, and I know most people have heard of it, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Remake. The original.
Oh, my God, I love it.
Exactly. And I was a little kid. I can remember the first time I saw it. And I can remember thinking, there is a big warning post at the end of the edge of our solar system all around saying, warning, keep away, they are a danger to themselves, and it might be contagious at this point. And we just need to, you know, climate change is real. And, you know, you can't explain what's going on. And, you know, we're having huge solar flares, which is part of the reason.
Oh, yeah.
Probably why the temperature is ridiculous. But, you know, our oceans are polluted. Our lakes are polluted. It's our home. We need to take better care of it.
Yeah. Somebody asked me an interesting question, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to digress too much. But somebody asked me an interesting question a couple of weeks ago in an interview, and they asked me a question because they know that I started the Green Challenge over two decades ago and a bunch of other things like that. And my experience comes from living on the East Coast and stepping on a hypodermic needle as I was walking on the beach in the Jersey Shore. And, you know, they asked me, they said, Pat, what do you think it's going to take? Now, I'm reading your book, and I'm reading this with a level of consciousness between the characters, if I might use that word. Just this level of consciousness. You know, whether they are the what I call intuitive thoughts of Daria or they are other things, whether they are the ambassadors that are out there, whether they are some of the characters, Dr. Watson, whatever it is that's in here, there's a level of awareness that I tuned into of the characters in this book that if we could have 10% of this level of awareness, I wonder what we could do with it. I mean, let me ask you about that, because you, from my perspective, you really instilled that level of awareness and consciousness purposefully, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a scene where they meet some sentient animals, and as the series goes along, you meet a lot of different types of animals who become actually fairly major characters, and some of them steal scenes on a regular basis. And at the end of the book, you meet Karen's XO, his best friend, his animal companion. And, you know, it's arrogant to believe that we're the only sentient life on the planet, let alone the universe.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't give the other life on this planet enough credit.
Yeah.
And some of the things that we do, for instance, and this is a bit of a left field thing.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on an island in Hawaii, and I'd never been around large animals. And I ended up my husband had a cattle ranch or farm, and they're beef cattle. And these animals are amazing. They are on the, they will, if you interact with them a lot, they become more attuned to you. And they're very smart. And they're like a very large dog. You just have to be careful because it's about a 1,800, or he or she is an 1,800-pound dog. But, you know, we take so many things for granted, or we are willfully blind sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, by the way, when I answered the question, the host that was interviewing me called me, what did he call me? Ageist. Because my answer was the following. I said, well, I think to start here in government in the United States and across the world, that most seats of political power really will need to be filled by people that are 30 years old. He's like, I didn't know you were an agent. I said, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you're 30 years old, you're looking at your life and you're thinking to yourself, by the time I'm 40, I may not have a planet to live on. If you're 60, 70 years old, you're looking at your life and you're saying, I'm going to be off the planet anyway. And I said, it really has less to do with age. It has more to do with the degree by which you consider looking at the world as something beautiful and doing something to save it. And that's the sense I got from the book, too.
Yes. And, you know, part of the thing is, you know, I grew up on an island and I'm not much of a, I don't get in the water per se, but I absolutely love the ocean. And, you know, there are so many parts of the ocean that are basically dead. They have no oxygen in them.
Yep.
So you can't have any marine life. And part of it is, you know, the contamination, the organophosphates and whatnot, the fertilizers and whatnot that we pour into the oceans and you get algae blooms. But I'm going to get sidetracked. But basically, you know, I wanted to write something in an ideal world. So we have, you know, in this book, we have scrubbers that we can convert carbon dioxide into oxygen.
Yes.
You know, and some of the other books, they find a way to restore the oxygen to the dead parts of the ocean. And it's one of those things that, you know, if only is such a powerful and frustrating at the same time phrase. People need to be more conscious because, you know, we live in the moment, and you're right, you know, people who are older just kind of, you know, they what they need to do is think about, you know, what about my kids?
Yeah.
What about my grandkids? What is going to be left for them? And, you know, sometimes when I speak with some friends who are younger, they are like, we don't want to have kids because we're afraid what we'd be bringing them into.
Oh,
and
my
that's
gosh.
That's a sad commentary.
It is. And, you know, and I can't help by, first of all, the way that you take us on this journey is a beautiful way to take us on this journey. So, you know, even though you and I are pointing some things out, I want to get to the romance part of this right now. But before I do, look, how do people get a copy of the book? How do they find out about you? How do they find out what's coming next? Let's give folks some information if we could.
The website is Mates of the Alliance, no spaces. And it is available on both Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The odd thing is, you know, when you write a book, you kind of fall in love with the characters. That's why you write, I suppose. But it's funny because I don't have a favorite book. Every book that I'm writing currently, usually, favorite book. I do have a really soft spot for books 2 and 3 because they just rung a chord. And I had a friend who was molested very badly when she was a child, and that just—I wanted to write it for her.
I want to thank you for doing all of this. The other thing is, I want to ask you this question because it does come through, and it comes through loud and clear. I mean, sometimes we love the most odd people in the world of the way our friends look at us, the way we look—we do. But we do fall in love. We do have that place. We do get to the place of our hearts opening. We do see beyond superficiality in so many ways. And that's what I love about what you've done.
Well, you know, unfortunately, we're kind of conditioned to look for certain things by, and I hate to say it, by the media and what's in the internet as to what is our standard of beauty.
Yeah.
And, you know, Yes, you know, we're human, and we are attracted perhaps initially physically, but what keeps you with someone is who they are. And sometimes, you know, when you look, the most, and this is going to sound generalizing, and I'm sorry, the most beautiful people sometimes don't have the best personalities. Not all, it's a generalization. But, you know, what the people who you really end up falling in love with are the ones who get to know you and love you for who you are and accept you completely. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the best person in the room. It's also a personality thing because you need to be engaged. They need to first, and it may be physical initially, but then they need to win your mind and your heart goes along with it. You know, if you're engaged, if they make you laugh, if they make you think, if they make you smile and look forward to seeing them all the time, that's magic right there. And it may be, you know, that's another word for it is love. And that applies for friends as well.
Yeah. I want to thank you for doing that. I want to thank you for bringing all the characters to life, some we didn't even talk about today. But I would encourage people to go ahead and get the book, right?
Yes, please. I think one of the biggest compliments you can have, or I can imagine, is someone who goes, you know, when I read your book, it made me smile, and it gave me a sense of hope, and I'm going to read it again because it made me feel good.
Yeah, that's me. And I'm going to, you know, wait for the movie, too.
You know, it's interesting that you said that because it's currently being converted into a screenplay.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You know, I can't thank you enough for being able to really bring this beautiful, beautiful story. But it's also a powerful story. And it's a powerful story that has so many different messages throughout it. So thank you for doing that. Thank you. Again, please tell folks how they can find out about you and how they can get a copy of the book.
The website is Mates of the Alliance, no spaces. And it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble as an ebook. The paperback will be released hopefully in late September.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you so much. One last question. What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
Gosh, I mean, there's so much going on right now. You know, I was getting to the point where I was trying not to read the headlines because it was just so disturbing. But, you know, if you look, and if you may have to look hard, but there is hope, and that's what's going to get us through this. And we're going to get through it together, and we just have to, you know, we can do anything when we actually put our minds to it. We just have to have enough people who get to that point and say, you know, this is what we need to do, and we're going to do it now, and that's just it. Because it's not really a choice.
I love it. Thank you so much. I look forward to the next time we speak because we've got lots more to talk about. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Pat. I really appreciate that.
You bet. Let's take a short break, everybody. Get the book. You'll see what I'm talking about. We'll see you in a few minutes.